How would you like to go on a treasure hunt with me? Hello, friend. This is Erwin Lutzer, and tonight on Songs in the Night, we're going to discover some priceless treasure that's buried nearer than you think.
Good evening, everyone. From historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago comes Songs in the Night with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist John Innes. This is Songs in the Night. Here now is Dr. Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted, and good evening to you, my friend. Today there is a great emphasis on physical beauty and the gift of intelligence. If you have one or the other of these specialties, you'll find it much easier to get along in life. But unfortunately, that which appears to be so wonderful can in the end be a detriment to living a fruitful and productive Christian life. Sometimes these natural gifts detract from the power of Christ within us. Tonight we're going on a treasure hunt, an expedition into 2 Corinthians to find two things, a treasure of great value and the unlikely places it is hidden. In finding these things, we'll learn what is really important so that we can live productively for Christ. Stay tuned.
Just ordinary people, our God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like you and me, who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people.
Aren't you glad that God uses ordinary people? I have a missionary friend who tells me from time to time, "Have you ever noticed how often God puts his hand on the wrong man?" Well, it's wonderful that God uses many different kinds of people. And in 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul speaks of a treasure each believer has within. Verse 6, "The God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." His point is that when we receive Christ as Savior, we not only have our sins forgiven, but the way is cleared for us to receive the special knowledge of God, knowledge which reflects the face of Christ. And like buried treasure, this light and knowledge and glory is priceless. In verse 7 he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God, and not from ourselves." What are these earthen vessels? Well, in Paul's day, vessels were common brittle pottery. They came in many different shapes and sizes, and they were often used to hide expensive gems or treasures. A thief wouldn't expect something so valuable in a container that was so valueless. By the way, perhaps that's where the idea arose that people put money in a cookie jar. You just assume that it's the last place in the world that a thief would ever look. Now, the image that we see here is that our human bodies are the vessels God has chosen to house his treasure. I think that Paul's point is that there is no greater discrepancy than the thought that the glory of God should be contained in such a humble, common vessel. Perhaps Paul had himself in mind. The people at Corinth spoke against him because he lacked charisma and apparently didn't have natural speaking talents. For example, in chapter 10, verse 10, we read, "For they say," speaking of Paul, "his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive, and his speech contemptible." Paul himself lacked all the gifts that we sometimes think are necessary for ministry. Now, throughout the Bible, God is spoken of as the potter, and we are the clay. We're the clay pot. We were made from the ground, we ingest the products that grow in the ground, and we return to the ground. The truly great miracle is that God will take his glory and put it into such a fragile, weak, and insignificant container. Today, of course, we reverse the order, don't we? We think that the vessel is more important than the gem. So we emphasize the outward, often to the lack of the inward glory of God that resides in every believer. Why does God use ordinary people to do extraordinary things? Paul answers, "In order that the power of God may be from the Lord and not ourselves." This echoes the same thought as 1 Corinthians 1:26, where we are told, "Not many mighty are chosen, not many noble are chosen, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise." Somewhere I read that Queen Victoria is to have said, "Thank God for the letter M." She was glad that that passage in 1 Corinthians did not read, "Not any mighty, not any noble are chosen." Fortunately, it doesn't say that. It says, "Not many." God greatly delights in taking people that we would never suspect he would use mightily. He loves to take them and gives them a prominent place in the kingdom. One principle he cannot compromise is that the glory must go to him.
We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord.
established by his word. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. We are God's loved ones, the bride of Christ our Lord. For we have known it, the love of God outpoured. Now let us learn how to return the gift of love once given. Oh, let us share each joy and care, and live with a zeal that pleases heaven. We are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey him, now risen from the dead. He wills us be a family, if first yet truly one. Oh, let us give our gifts to God, and so shall his work on earth be done.
Thank you, trio. Isn't it wonderful that we have the privilege of seeing the face of Jesus? And in the passage we're looking at tonight, Paul shows how the outer vessel can come under so much pressure and yet bear up because of inner strength. We read, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. You see, the earthen vessel may be in bad shape, but the inner work of the Holy Spirit, symbolized by regeneration, that work that God does, is in good shape. There are two ways to make a burden lighter. Either the burden can be taken away, or its weight can be lessened. Or God can give us stronger shoulders by which we can bear it. Either way, His grace is always great enough to meet us at the point of our need. You see, Paul expected the same kind of persecution as Christ received. And so he says, we bear in our body the dying of Jesus. As he was rejected and ridiculed in the world, so will we be. But the point is that we can endure because of the inner resources of the treasure. Joan of Arc, abandoned by those who should have stood with her, said, it is better to be alone with God. His friendship will not fail me, nor His counsel, nor His love. In His strength I dare and dare and dare until I die. Paul now quotes a promise which motivates him to live for Christ to the best of his ability, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. As far as the vessel was concerned, it would eventually decay, but it would be resurrected. And the knowledge of the resurrection was what motivated Paul to keep going. Therefore, we do not lose heart, he writes, but though our outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, if you don't know Christ, your outer man is decaying day by day, and there is no inner renewal. The outer disintegration is but a picture also of the inner deadness of heart that is brought about as death nears. But for the believer, the frailty of the body and the disintegration of youthfulness is no cause for alarm. There are inner resources that break out in glad expression in the midst of trials. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. When we look at life from God's standpoint, these trials are moments in comparison to eternity. The difficulties are as a light feather in comparison with the weight of glory that will be ours. So the vessel can decay, but the personality will continue forever with God.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of Thy tone. As Thou hast sought, so let me seek Thy erring children, lost and lone. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things Thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hill.
Thanks, Glenn, and we're glad that the Lord does minister to us so that we can touch the lives of other people. We've been speaking about 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the treasure in the earthen vessel. What are the lessons that we need to learn? First of all, that human weakness magnifies God's strength. In fact, if you've not been significantly weakened, God may have to do that before he can use you mightily. Just before Jacob was to meet Esau, God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh so that he limped. That day, Jacob was going to meet his estranged brother. He wanted to be in good physical shape, so that if a fight ensued, he'd be able to hold his own. But right at the point where he wanted physical strength, God gave him physical weakness. Why? So that Jacob might not depend upon himself, but upon God alone. Second, we learn that when we take glory to ourselves, we detract from the glory of God. Have you ever met a man who is brilliant and wants to make sure that everyone else understands that? Have you ever met a person who is attractive and is proud of it? Such people detract from the hidden treasure. I've been blessed by people who lacked charisma, perhaps those whose bodies were decaying because of disease, but the hidden treasure was beautifully displayed within that vessel. As a matter of fact, because the vessel seemed to be so unattractive, I was drawn immediately to the treasure within. Finally, we learn that no one is too small for God to use. You may be too big, but never too small. In fact, God loves to use those who are small in his kingdom to do that which is significant. But if the vessel is too hard, too stubborn, too self-assured, God will have to smash that vessel so that he can use it. Like the flask of perfume that was broken in the presence of Christ, so God may have to break us that our fragrance might affect the lives of others whom we meet. F.B. Meyer said that he always thought that God's gifts were on a shelf, one stacked upon another, and that the taller one gets, the better able he is able to take one of those blessings or gifts. But Meyer said that he learned that the opposite is true. God's gifts and graces were stacked on the lower shelves, one beneath another. Only the person who approached the shelf on his knees was able to get the real special blessing from God. And that's the point to which the Lord eventually brings us. Through the decay of the vessel, through the weakness of the human body and the flesh, we are eventually brought to a point where we must depend on God just to get through another day. At that point, the treasure of Christ is most clearly seen. Then the people of the world do not mistake the vessel and the treasure. It's clear that these are distinct, and that the glory of Christ shines best against the backdrop of an ordinary life and ordinary circumstances. Yes, we have this treasure in common jars so that the blessing of Christ becomes the main attraction. Stay tuned, because in a moment I'll return with some closing comments.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from
Yes, we are but earthen vessels, common and ordinary. But God has chosen to fill these vessels with the light of His glory, to bring His radiance into the world through the lives of people born again by the Spirit and committed to His will and way. Friend, how is your vessel tonight? Is God's glory showing through, or are you keeping it covered up? We want the world to notice us, the vessels. But the world needs to see Jesus in us and see Him clearly. Let's allow Him to shine through in everything we do. We at Songs in the Night want you to have as our gift a printed copy of tonight's meditation, Inner Strength for Outward Pressures. Just mention that title when you write. Our address is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, you can express your support for Songs in the Night, and that helps and encourages us as we continue bringing you this weekly radio ministry. So, write this week. Our address once again is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Now, with some closing thoughts, here once again is Dr. Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted. And my friend, how is your treasure seen by those around you? Is it still buried out of sight, or can people see the radiance of God's glory in your life? I also ask myself the very same question. Let's take a moment to pray that God will work in each of our lives in such a way as to remove the barriers that keep His glory from being seen. Join with me now, and may the blessing of the Lord be upon us as we pray. Our Father, we want to thank You today for Your faithfulness. Thank You for choosing ordinary people, ordinary common vessels, and giving us Your glory, Your radiance. And we thank You that we have the privilege of attracting other people to Jesus Christ. We pray for those who do not know Him as Savior tonight, who have listened to this broadcast. May they come and believe on Him as well, that they too may have that inner radiance and glory. And we pray that those of us who do know You as Savior may be powerful witnesses to our generation, the strength of Christ, the inner strength in the midst of outer pressure. We pray in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Songs in the night, songs in the night. The Lord give us songs in the night.